Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Go in without a wetsuit, and I'm like, they're freeze. It's like, there's one of the things, and you think you're going to pop out, and you're like, oh, I'm alive, you know. And we actually had a boogie board from our drives up to us in this little buggy. So there's only. Surfers only. California Beach. The surfers have braved the waves. A little windshield, and you could walk all my rain gear on, and the waves would just crack. Cold, you'd be soaked through, you know. Go home. He would never go in, you know. You're cold. I want to go home. Do you got any floor out fishing and stuff like that? And I asked them for a comb, and they're like, a comb? You know, you want us to drop you off over the beach? Anyways, turn a comb needed anymore. Years ago when I came here, I used to have really nice out. About anything. By prayer and petition, with God is powerful, deeper than any two-edged sword. They keep us, they protect. It is spirit food to a spirit man. Do anything. God has and direct us and sustain us. The word of God is important. Only to some extent, thank God for them. Got to get back to reading God's word. Many distractions out there that take up our phones, constant literal movies, filling ourselves with just thinking. One, with Holly, regular basis, so distracted, and we fill ourselves with such junk. We have got to get back to the word. We've got to put God's word first. He gave it to us for a reason, not just for a Sunday morning feel-good sermon. He gave it to us for a reason. Spirit food. And I see so many starving Christians. They are starving, wondering why their lives are headed down the wrong road. And when I sit them down and ask them, when's the last time you read your Bible, they can't even tell me. They don't read the word. And literally, if they would just get back to the word, I out there. Get back to the word. Get back to putting God's word first. Get back to getting up and reading God's word instead of getting on your phone and, you know, reading your emails first and doing all these other things first. Put God first. Amen? He's the answer to every question you might have in your life. And he put the wisdom of God's, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in his word to help you and to guide you. So when you read something like, don't be anxious about anything, you think to yourself, how is that even possible? How do we even do that? I mean, it sounds really good because anxiety is rampant in our culture. Don't be anxious. One thing I know about God's word, especially for those who are born again Christians, is that when God has given something in his word, has said something in his word, he backs it up with the power to do it. That means it's possible for us to live anxiety-free lives. It's possible. And we're all on a journey. I understand that. So let's go on a journey together. Let's go on a journey. Let's grow together. Let's set some goals in our lives. Okay, Lord, you know, my prayer to God is like, okay, Lord, if you said this, then I want this in my life. It would be unjust for God to give us a promise and it not be possible. Because it's possible. That's exciting. So how do we do that? How do we implement that in our lives? How do we live in the peace of God that transcends all understanding and allow that to guard our hearts and our minds, our souls, our emotions? How do we do that? You know, as a parent, we have children that exhibit irrational anxiety at times. One thing, and I know in other households in here as well, is the irrational anxiety and fear towards spiders. Anybody say amen? I'm not looking at anybody around the room, but, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this thing is so tiny. A spider, hello. And I hear these shrieks and screams upstairs. Ah! I'm thinking someone has died. Someone fell out the window through the screen. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is here. Someone, what's the matter? It's a spider. Come up and take care of it. I'm like, get your shoe out. I'm like, come on. Irrational anxiety, screaming. I guess I'm a negligent parent, and I should have taken my kids camping more. But I didn't, because I don't like sleeping on the ground. Can anybody say amen? All right. I went camping as a Boy Scout, but I should have taken them camping more and exposed them to more bugs, right? They wouldn't have this irrational anxiety, this fear of these little tiny, it's kind of reminds me of the devil, little itty bitty teeny devil, big, big God. But we're afraid of the devil. Why do we fear the devil? Why do we fear his devices when he's already been defeated? He's a tiny little thing. Step on him. He's supposed to be under your feet anyway. Amen? Talk about fear. Anybody ever go to Crater Lake before? Raise your hand if you've been to Crater Lake. Half of yous, okay, well, that could be a great summer vacation next year because it's beautiful. We've been there once, one day. Love to go again, but when you go there, you can't necessarily access the lake unless you park in a certain parking lot and you walk down this steep trail. It's a long trail, and it goes down, down, down. Then you get down there, and everybody's hanging out, rocks and cliffs and stuff like that, and then you go over to the high part, and young people are jumping off the cliff into the lake, you know. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And so I don't want to pick on you today, Ben, but I'm going to pick on you. And Ben's like, I want to jump off the cliff. I'm like, okay, come on, do it, you know. And he's like, nah, he's kind of hemming and hawing back and forth. I was like, if you do it, I'll give you $20. He's trying to, you know, motivate and get past this fear of jumping off the thing. So he gets up there, he climbs up there. And he's standing there, and you know, you got to wait in line because there's a bunch of, especially young guys, you know, some girls, you got to wait in line. When he gets there, and we're kind of below him looking up because we want to see him jump, right? And all of a sudden, the guys behind him are like, come on, you can do it. They're encouraging him, you know, and we're down there, come on, Ben. And I'm thinking, you're holding up the line, you know, come on, jump, do it, Ben, you know. And you can see he's kind of back and forth. And all of a sudden, boo, splash. And we're like, yay. And Ben swims over, and he climbs up on the rock right where we are. And I'm like, hey, Ben, how was it? And his only reaction was, it's cold. I'm like, wasn't it amazing? Where's my 20 bucks? So it's amazing how that he overcame that anxiety and overcame that fear as he was cheered on. Somebody was there encouraging him. Somebody was there helping him. And he finally jumps. He finally overcame. And you know that when you do something like that one time, when you dive off of the diving board one time, it's so much easier to do it the second time or the third time or the fourth time. If you've ever been diving, if you ever, you know, dove off a cliff or anything like that. After that, like if you go out into the Sandy River, we go down to the Sandy River with the interns and we jump off a little rock there. At first, you know, you're a little bit unsure, but once you do it one time, it's like, I can't get enough of this. Just so much fun to do. I believe at times that all of God's children have some irrational anxiety at times. But there are some things that you're afraid of that don't make sense from heaven's perspective. And they're causing you to shut down. When you put it in context of God in you, God living in you, the hope of glory. So basically, he says through his word here that I want to train your heart to be anxious for nothing. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, Paul is writing this in jail. And he's encouraging those outside of jail, don't be anxious for everything. For anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your guard. He's probably looking through the jail cell. There's a guard over there. Will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, the word anxious is found in the Bible 17 times. 17 times. And I'm going to go Greek on you today. Are you ready? All right. The word anxious is the word merimnate. M-E-R-I-M-N-A-T-E. Merimnate. What does it sound like? Marinate. How many of you know meat tastes so much better when you marinate it? And then when you forget to marinate, you kind of pour stuff over it, hoping that it tastes good. But when you think about it ahead of time, the day before perhaps, and you marinate those steaks or that chicken, the next day when you barbecue it, it has soaked in all the way through, and it tastes so good. Tender. So this word marinate basically is telling us, and Paul is telling, the wrong stuff that paralyzes you. Do not be marinate for anything, basically. Now, the question is, do we need to be concerned about anything? Oh, of course. But if you look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says this prior to Philippians 4. He says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. The word genuine concern here is the same Greek word, merimnate. Is it genuine concern, the question is, or is it needless anxiety? Genuine concern or needless anxiety. It can be interpreted both ways. Now, we go through things and we deal with things that we have genuine concerns about, but the Bible says, be anxious for no thing, for nothing. Sure, be concerned about the state of your soul. You know, be concerned about the state of your finances. Be concerned about the state of your family, perhaps the world. But don't allow anxiety to take you over and paralyze you as you continue to marinate or soak in the fear of what might happen because you're trusting in yourself, your ability, and your wisdom instead of God in you. Hallelujah. The hope of glory. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31, very popular scripture, you know it, but I want to read it. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? Because it's things that we get anxious about. All kinds of things. What should we say in response to these things that we're anxious about, these things that we're fearful about, these things that we're marinating in and soaking in that's causing all of this worry? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's something you just should say to yourself in the midst of fear trying to overtake you. If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, I mean, he gave it all, the ultimate sacrifice, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Hallelujah. Somebody say things. Say things. Twice. And then he says, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then he goes on this preaching rant here. He's like, yeah, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, come on, somebody say amen, neither angels nor demons, come on, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Come on, somebody say amen. We'll be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You got to just say to yourself, it ain't nothing but a thing. Come on, say that. It ain't nothing but a thing. Amen. You got to shift from needless anxiety over to genuine concern. Anxious for nothing. See, this is the goal. How many times have we known people that have been anxious about something and it just turned out to be nothing? Just, why did I even worry about it? You know, the nosy neighbor, gossiping neighbor, you know, it's just like causing anxiety in the neighborhood. Or, you know, something happens and the lack of communication, anxiety, and you something, and it's a text that just causes anxiety, and you begin to read between the lines and allow the lies to infiltrate your mind because of a text that doesn't have a lot of information in it. Like when someone texts me before service and messages me and says, I need to talk to you after service. And I'll be like, do you have to send that to me right before service? It's like, are you serious? So all of a sudden the devil's like, well, they didn't like your sermon last week. Or they're probably leaving the church. And blah, blah, blah. Well, somebody did that to me recently, and it was like 10 minutes before service. I pulled him in my office and said, don't do that to me. It's like, what do you want? Well, I just need to talk to you about something. It's not really important. Well, why do you have to text me that? If it's not that important. All of a sudden, anxiety is like, you know, you got to control your thoughts. Control your minds and resist things. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. He was an eyewitness. He was a disciple of Jesus. He was there when it happened. Said that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Like Sibyl, I talk about forward motion. Let's go over here. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. That always makes me laugh. Why did they even put that in there? Okay, well, there wasn't just one boat. There was a bunch of boats. Okay? Makes for a good story, I guess, right? Verse 37, a furious squall came up. My dad never called a squall furious when a squall came up in the ocean, but that's just funny. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So the squall came up. They were nearly swamped. It says in verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, and I love this, sleeping on a cushion. I don't know. The Bible's funny to me. It's like, okay, sleeping on a cushion. He must have had the cushy job, or maybe that was the cushy spot on the boat. I mean, was the cushion Tempur-Pedic, you know, or something like that? And that's just funny to me. It says, the disciples then woke him up and said, teacher, and this is just the funniest question. I mean, the Bible's funny, you guys. You can laugh at this. Don't you care that we drown? Duh. Do you think I invested you in all this time? I'm going to let you drown? I'm trying to make you world changers. I'm not going to let you drown. Hello? And they're like all freaked out. Don't you care? We're going to drown. I mean, God is in the boat, the creator of the storm. Amen? And they're just freaking out. Freaking out. Now, you guys all know that I went sailing, right, with my brother and my German brother-in-law to Greece. You guys all know that. And this was a couple years ago. And, you know, I'm thinking warm water, beaches, sand. My whole thought of was diving off the boat into the clear green water and swimming to the beach. No. The first day, I arrive in Athens and take a taxi to the boat in the dock. And he says, we can't leave because there's a storm coming. I'm like, I didn't pay all this money to come here for a storm. I came here for tropical paradise. Greek olives and feta cheese. So we didn't go out that day, but the next day the storm is even worse and we've got to leave in order to follow the schedule. But for 10 hours, 60-mile-an-hour sustained hurricane. He said after 25 years of sailing, this was the worst day ever in the history of his sailing and captaining experiences. I'm like, and I, the only American who does not speak that good of German, I couldn't even swear in German and I wanted to, right? I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me, right? After we get out of the port, the wind starts howling, and I'm thinking, this is cool, all right, the boat's going fast. Not knowing that inside my stomach is beginning to turn really fast. And I barely made it down to the bathroom after 2 hours of rocking and rolling. So seasick. Now, I literally, you guys, literally, I've never been that sick, and I never thought that I would pray to die. I'm serious. I'm like, God, you can just take me now. This is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'm just so sick. After like 10 hours, we finally get to port. The wind is still blowing. It took us an hour to dock the boat because these boats are, you know, they're half a million dollar boats, you know, and you don't want, you can't bang them against another boat as you dock them. So we couldn't pull it in. We couldn't set the, what's the line that goes out the front to dock safe of it all, but we couldn't set that line. And finally we found a place to dock safely without any boats around. And it was time to go to bed. And the boat is howling, you know, whistling and howling. I'm thinking, how am I going to sleep? And I thought to myself, tomorrow I am getting off this boat and I am taking an airplane home. I don't care. I'm leaving. This is not what I signed up. I'm going to go back to Greece. I'm going to find a hotel to stay in. And I'm going to visit the Parthenon or something. But I realized that if I did that, I would have been the laughingstock of my German family for life. So there I was. And, you know, the little berths, which are the little bedrooms, there's four of them with a little bathroom, and there's two guys in each one. And it's not like you can't not touch the other guy. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to sleep here, right? Because this is awkward, you know? So I got out of there, and I went and I laid by the living room kitchen table, and I made that my bed, and I just laid there. But here's a video that I made of that night. Eileen's going to work it out here.
Hello. It's 2 a.m, and we are docked on the island of Pylos. And it took, because it was so for us to dock on a boat, because it was so windy, we couldn't get close to the dock. So I'm filming this so you can hear the wind outside as we try to sleep. Listen.
This is called vacation.
Talk about an adventure. I just picture Paul in the Bible trying to cross the Mediterranean in winds like this with boats that can't handle it. It's amazing. Have a great day. Love you. Bye.
How many know joy comes in the morning? The next morning, the winds were gone. The sun was rising. I walked out of the boat. I kissed the dock. And then my brother-in-law said, there's no winds today, and we can't sail anywhere. We're going to stay here for the day. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. We rented quads and had one of the most fantastic days on the island. And from there on, I didn't get sick, and I enjoyed the ride. So a lot of times, though, we create our own storms. I didn't know what to expect. But I think a lot of times we know what to expect, but we cause unnecessary anxiety because we forget that this is our life or this is how things go. So let me give you five things this morning, five things really quick just to help us as we're on our journey towards anxiety-free lives. The first thing is this. Are you ready? Take notes. The first thing is this, the words we speak. We create our own storms at times through the words that we speak. Perhaps out of anger, out of frustration. The words that we speak literally build the world around us and the atmosphere around us. And many times it's not fun to live in, but we've created it. And no one else can change it except us. Now, I had an aunt who always used to say this, it just worries me to death. And she constantly said, it just worries me to death, worries me to death. And I also had a priest growing up who continually said, my dad didn't live past 30 years old and I won't live past 30. Said it all the time. You just worry me to death. You know, here's a good measure as far as the words that you speak. If behind the words you would say this, are you guys ready to write this down? And that's just the way I want it. And that's just the way I want it. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You literally get what you say. Either we speak death or we speak life. So if you say something like, you worry me to death, and that's just the way I want it, you would probably stop saying you worry me to death. Or, my dad didn't live past 30 years old, and that's just the way I want it. Well, what happened in that situation? At 30 years old, my parish priest was found at the table with a cigarette in his hand and a cup of coffee, had a major heart attack, and he died at 30, just like his father. I can't tell you how many times he said, my dad didn't live past 30, and neither will I. And that's just the way I want it. Second is this, is our approach. Our approach. In America, we live with no margin, and it makes us nervous. We live above our means. We don't have a budget. We shop with no list. And then when it comes time to doing the bills, we don't really know what's in our account, so we avoid doing the bills. Anybody do that? Come on. We avoid doing the bills. And then when we avoid doing the bills, what happens? You get extra fees tagged onto that, and it spirals out of control. Literally, because we live with no margin, all these late fees come. We don't even want to go to our computers to find out what's actually in the account. This can be fixed, right? With just simple little things, our approach. Knowing that every month, here's our budget. Here's our food budget. Can't buy this, can't do that. It's so much better to know because it reduces your anxiety. So if you're continually avoiding opening and putting in your password, what's going on? It reduces anxiety. But avoiding it doesn't solve the problem. It's kind of like this. You know that there's going to be traffic on the way to work. You just know. Because that's where your work is. My wife works over there by the Terwilliger Curves. The traffic is definitely getting worse here in Portland. It's going to take her another 15 more minutes. She's leaving earlier. But if there's an accident anywhere on the highway, you're going to be late. Because it just completely halts the whole city. But you can plan for that. Why not leave 15 minutes earlier? Reduce anxiety. And then you come home because you didn't leave early, you were late, and you're like, how was your day today, honey? Well, it was just a bad day. I hate my boss. So mean. Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, if you would have left earlier, you would have been on time and they wouldn't have been mad at you, right? Would have reduced your anxiety and solved the situation. I'm not necessarily talking about you, honey. This is in general. Hallelujah. You know, how about you students out there? You knew the assignment weeks before. Hello? But you procrastinated up to the last day. Okay? You could have, okay, you know on Thursday you've got an assignment and it's due Monday. So you come home on Thursday. Do you have any homework? No. Okay. Come home on Friday. Do you have any homework? No. Saturday. Dad, can I go over so-and-so's house? Do you have any homework? No. Okay, sure, you can go over. You want to go to the football game? You want to go here? Okay. Sunday after church, do you have any homework? Yes. I forgot. And I need some pencils, and I need a poster board, and I need this, and I need that, and I need all this stuff because it's due tomorrow. And I'm thinking, I asked you, when did the teacher give it to you? On Thursday. But I forgot, Dad. Are you kidding me? Now you've not only stressed out yourself, you stressed out the whole household because you told me at 8 o'clock at night and the dollar store closes at 9. You know what I'm talking about? Now I've got to go spend 3 times more at Fred Meyer's to buy you a poster board. Hello, is anybody out there? And I'm like, it's our approach, guys. If we weren't procrastinators, we would reduce our anxiety in our life. Plan ahead. Thirdly is this, wrong voices. Wrong voices. To be honest with you, I think the invention of 24-hour news is the most craziest things that America has ever done. I out there. Talk about anxiety. Do you need to know all the things that are happening in every country that you can't pronounce its name? You can't do anything about it. You can pray, obviously. But it creates anxiety. It takes our focus and our attention off of what we need to be getting done. And just having that television on 24/7, it actually affects the environment in the atmosphere of your home, producing anxiety and stress. The stories on war, the stories of the riots, the story of everything going on. I'm not saying we shouldn't be genuinely concerned, but it shouldn't fill us with anxiety and halt us from actually doing what we need to get done. Watch one show. You know, you don't need to watch all 5 shows because they all basically talk about the same thing and they rehash the same thing over and over again. Are you guys out there? It's crazy. News on constantly. First thing in the morning, instead of going to the Word, filling yourself with the Word, it's click, turn the TV on while you eat breakfast, and there's the news. Somebody's dying. Somebody's killed. There's an earthquake, there's this, there's that, the world is falling apart, and Portland is they're due for their earthquake, and oh my gosh, is it going to happen here? And, you know, you hear all the stories about this area and earthquakes, and like, come on, folks, God will take care of us. Amen? Stress-free living. What we do is we marinate in the wrong reports. We marinate on these things. Sure, you need good information. Sure, you need information. We don't want to be ignorant about what's going on in the world. But then again, you don't need it on 24/7. It's like all you do is sit around and watch chick flicks. Anybody out there? Or shows like that. The Bachelor. Anybody out there? I'm trying to tell my girls, this is not reality. This is reality TV. But this is not reality. This is not the way relationships work. Guys crying because they didn't get a rose. Are you kidding me? Like, serious. This is not how it works, folks. Most of them don't end up getting married anyway. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. Peace and strength comes from marinating on the Word of God. Not on these constant shows. Netflix. I hear, you know, people binge watching series. What are they doing? Marinating on liberal garbage that is filling their mind with theology and lifestyle that doesn't match up to the Word of God and will not cause you to be successful in relationships. It doesn't work. Are you guys out there? The whole phone thing, the whole Netflix thing, the whole internet thing, I mean, it can literally drive you crazy and off the path that God has for you as you marinate on those things day and night, day and night. You guys out there, you can see I'm not happy about it. I'm frustrated with my kids because they want to tell me that their video games aren't affecting their life. Don't tell me they're not affecting your life because you're marinating on that thing 24/7. Are you out there, young people? You can't tell me that what's the main game that they play where they're shooting and killing everybody. What is it? Call of Duty. You can't tell me that's not affecting your life. Okay? Because that's all you do. All you're playing. You're literally meditating on that. You may not ever go out and kill somebody, but your perception and value of life, as you become desensitized towards the value of human life. It's okay to play every now and then, but to continually be addicted to it, which people are, and not be they're not productive in life. If they had spent half the time studying and applying themselves in school, getting a degree or working towards, you know, their goal and the God-given gifts on the inside of them, they would be so much further ahead concerning the call of God, the plan for their life, and they would be so much more ahead financially as well. It's amazing to me how all these video game players, they all have goals that they want to, I'm going to go up and I'm going to make video games. Right. Sure. You and 300 million other young people across the world that want to do that, which basically is just an excuse to play the game. Mm-mm. Can all the teenagers say amen? I'm serious about this now. I'm serious about this. You will not fulfill the call of God being addicted to these things. You've got to put down your phones. You've got to turn off your televisions. You've got to get off Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and all these things that are wasting our time as far as the will of God is concerned in our life, causing unnecessary anxiety, and you wonder why the peace of God is not surrounding your heart and mind, because we fill it with things that cause anxiety and stress. Hello. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's what God taught Joshua. He said, Joshua, basically, if you want to be successful and you want to be prosperous, you've got to do this. You've got to make this a priority. He said, keep the book of the law, basically keep the word of God always on your lips. Speak it. Talk it. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it create an atmosphere of faith surrounding you. Then meditate on it or marinate in it day and night. Why do you want to do that? So that you'll be then careful to do everything that's written. Then you will make your way prosperous and successful. Lack of paying attention to the word of God will cause you to fail and not be successful. When you put God's word first, the Bible says here, you will be prosperous and successful. What does that mean? It's talking about success here on the earth. Success in the plan that God has for you. Success in the job path that God is leading you down. Being the best in your field. Being the best lawyer, being the best doctor, being the best personal assistant, being the best business owner, being the best employee, being the best Christian you can be, being the best missionary. God wants to prosper you. He wants you to be successful, but you cannot be successful unless you put his word first. And the distractions are keeping you from being successful. God is all about success. Success is a Bible word. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be successful in your relationships, financially. He wants you to be successful socially. He wants you to be successful in school, in your business. Every area God is concerned about. And he's written a plan in his word that really, really, really works. So what would you say if you just cut out all the social media and cut out all the distractions? Just try it for a month. And every day you wake up, read one chapter of God's word every day. I'm challenging you to do that. And see what happens. See what happens. See the reduction of stress in your home and in the midst of your family. See what happens concerning making decisions in your life. What happens on your job, the favor of God begins to rise. Things begin to pop. God begins to show up. Divine connections begin to happen. Why? Because you're putting God's word first. It's not that those things weren't there before, but you become more Holy Spirit sensitive to his leading, and he's always talking. He's always encouraging you to move forward. He always is placing opportunities in front of you. When you've got your head in God's word, you've got your soul grounded in the word of God, you're able to hear his voice and follow that leading to the path of success that he has for you. Ball's in our court. Ball's in our court. Hallelujah. Number four, wrong expectations. Wrong expectations. We've got to make decisions with wisdom. And the anxiety a lot of times that we feel is created by the expectations of others that we took on and created ourselves. The anxiety we feel a lot of times is because we have gotten caught up in liberal culture and liberal theology instead of biblical culture and biblical theology. Guys, we don't live by the standards of this world. And we don't have to please this world. We need to take a stand. Romans 12:2. Here again, Paul, teaching us to live anxiety-free lives. Here's another piece to the puzzle, another step that we take. He said this. He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't conform to the liberal thinking and the liberal theology of this world. He says, but be transformed. Hallelujah. I want to be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, renewing our mind is the goal that we all have as believers. When you become born again, a born-again Christian gets a brand new spirit. God's spirit comes to live in you. He takes out the old, he puts in the new. He takes out the rock-hard spirit. He puts in a spirit of flesh, a spirit of clay that's pliable, that's moldable. He places everything in your spirit, God's love, God's power, his wisdom come to live in you. The Word of God is actually the instruction book of what God has already placed in you through the new birth. When you read the Word of God, you are enlightened about what God has already placed in you. You tap into what he's placed in you and you begin to bring it out. You begin to live it. You begin to act on it. You begin to do it as you meditate on it and as you act on it. The Bible says the doer is the one that's blessed. So we are God carriers. We carry the whole realm and the whole word of God inside of us. He lives in us. That's why people in China, when they only have 3 pages of the Bible, they can live successful, incredibly prosperous lives, even in the midst of their culture. Why? Because when they were born again, the word was placed in them. You begin to do things that you've never done before. You begin to love like you've never loved before. You begin to see things. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the blinders get taken off your eyes. You're able to see things that you've never seen before. You're able to see situations in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural realm. You begin to live on a new plane. You're no longer living in the natural world. You're living on a higher plane as a spiritual being with spiritual eyes, able to see things in the Spirit. Are you out there? Able to see the demons that are attacking and able to resist, able to see the host of heaven and the angels that are out there working on your behalf. There's a whole invisible world out there working on your behalf behind the scenes. And in this invisible world, things are happening for you. Hallelujah. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible life that we live. Yet if we relegate our life to living in the natural and don't put God's word first. That's really the dividing line. When we don't put God's word first, we relegate to living in the natural instead of the spiritual, in the natural instead of the supernatural. When we set God's word aside and we don't read it and don't study it like we used to and only get 1 or 2 sermons a week, because that's all we come on a Sunday, is every other Sunday or something like that, and we only relegate our spiritual food, you'll never survive or prosper without day and night meditation and marinating on God's word. It's important. It's powerful. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The anxiety we feel is unexpected because we don't expect to have a battle when all along, guys, he said, get ready for the battle and instructed us that when we get up in the morning, we're supposed to put the armor of God on. So when you get up and you're surprised, oh my gosh, the world is falling apart, I had the worst day ever, you should already be expecting for the battle to ensue when you wake up in the morning. How do you protect yourself from the battle? Number one, you put God's word first and you walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. You put your armor on and you're like, ah, I'm ready for the battle today. Because no matter what comes my way, I'm ready. Got the word of God in me, got the wisdom of God in me, and any circumstance or situation that comes my way, I'm able to deal with it. Because God doesn't give me anything more than I can handle it all. Everything that comes my way, he's already placed in me the answer to come out successful in that situation. And I'm ready for the battle. We should continually be ready for the battle because there is a fight going on for your attention. There is a fight going on for your life. There is a fight going on. The devil wants to take you out. He wants to place sickness and disease. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. And you need to know that. When you get up in the morning, put your armor on and get ready for battle. Hallelujah. And just know that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything will be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. Because I am more than a conqueror. I'm ready for the battle. He's given me everything on the inside, and he's given me everything on the outside, the armor of God, to fight the good fight of faith, and I'm going to win. Hallelujah. I'm going to see it through. I'm going to say the right things. I'm going to pray the right things. I'm going to speak the right things. Hallelujah. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to put my hand to the plow, and I'm not going to look back. I am moving forward for my life. In my life, I'm going to see the things and the promises of God come to pass in my life. You have got to be determined to see the things come to pass. If you want God to move in your life, if you want to see things happen, we have to personally be determined. It is something that we decide to do. It's not like, okay, Lord, just bring it on. God's like, listen, I've already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've given you Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son. I have filled you with the Holy Spirit and with power. I have placed the whole realm of God's word inside of you. I've filled you with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. I've given you every piece of equipment, including the written word of God, which has been fought on and fought for years to try to be taken out of this world. I've given you the written word of God to make your life successful. Also, Sat, should be no excuses. Hallelujah. And I've also sat Jesus at my right hand, and he's praying for you to act on the word that he's placed in you. Hallelujah. Forever making intercession for you. Why? So that you'll follow his word, put his word first, and he's looking for those paths of success to place in front of you. What's the next step, Lord? Where do I go? How do I do it? Show me. Woo! Hallelujah. Last one. You ready for the last one? One of those things that creates anxiety is this thing called shame. Shame. Many times we hide behind stuff because we're anxious that someone might find out. And it holds us back from being bold in the Lord. This is why church exists. That's why transparency reduces anxiety. It just does. Things that are hidden in secret can build and build and build on the inside, and then someone commits suicide or someone has an incident, and you think, we didn't even know what was going on in them, but it built up to the point where it just exploded in them because they had no outlet. They had no one to talk to. They had no parent support group to come to. They had no small group. They had no friends that could understand them, that sympathize and empathize with them, that they could trust. Transparency reduces anxiety. That's why the Bible says, confess to one another your faults and your sins, and pray for one another that you may be healed. It's not just healing in the body, but it's healing in your emotions and your soul, that you may be free. You may be free. Freedom is an amazing thing. We are tormented, but we have to come to the place where we understand that God has already forgiven us. Amen? And you need to remind the devil of that. Shame off you, not shame on you. For your sake. You know, we all love John 3:16, but John 3:17 is also written for your sake as well. God did not come into the world to condemn the world. Hallelujah. He came to set the world free. Romans chapter 8 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It also says to resist the devil and he will flee from you, right? But prior to that is submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't resist the devil without submitting first. There is no sustained power or authority without submitting ourselves to God and his word on a daily basis and staying filled with his word. When we allow the word to not become first place in our lives, and we try to resist the devil, a lot of times we don't have the power to do so. It doesn't work. You even from the outside in the form of a fiery arrow, you know where it's coming from, but you don't even acknowledge that the devil is the source of that arrow, because you haven't been in the word to remind you of where it's coming from. You kind of know, but you don't know. And you don't want to go there because sometimes you feel guilty because you haven't been in the word. The word fills us. We leak, folks. That's why we're supposed to meet together on a regular basis. They were actually meeting daily in the book of Acts and getting filled, praying together, hearing God's word and teaching together. They were getting filled because we leak wherever we go. And you can't just keep leaking, 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 leaking all over the place and expect to have the power to resist the evil force and fight the battle that you need to fight in order to be successful and prosperous. We have got to stay in the word every day. And then when you do, you've got the power to resist. Turn back to Mark chapter 4. We're almost done. Mark chapter 4, Jesus' response to the disciples after they asked, do you want us to drown? Do you want us to drown? Verse 39, it says, he got up. That was a good start. Somebody just need to get up. Stop sitting around doing nothing. He got up. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, talk about authority and power, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? It says they were terrified. They're still afraid. And asked each other, here's the funny thing in the Bible, who is this? They don't even know. And the waves obey him. I really believe that the true waves that we're fighting that'll take you down are not the ones out there, but the ones in here. The ones in you. I want to encourage you to ask and believe and don't doubt. That God hears your prayer. Because of what Jesus did, he, up until this time, a pathway to the Father. He said this, up until this time, you have not asked for anything in the Father's name. Ask, he said, you have not asked the Father anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Ask him. Talk to him. Petition him. But don't be like a James 1:6 Christian. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. I really believe that through this story, what we can take home with us this morning is this. Jesus is saying to us, just like I calmed the waves without, I want to teach you how to calm the waves within. It's possible to live a worry-free, anxiety-free life. And when we learn how to calm the waves within, we can learn how to ride the waves without. See, back on Seal Beach in California, when we showed up with our boogie boards, and immediately the lifeguard rode over in his little four-wheeler, said, you can't surf here. At first, I was like, who were you to tell me what I can do? He's like, you have to go past the lifeguard shack. I was like, okay. But I realized that surfers hate boogie boarders. Because whenever they get up on a wave and they start riding it, you got this little guy and his little boogie board. And he either, the surfer, when he comes upon him, he either has to jump off or he's going to hit him. And he misses the whole tube, the whole flow, and the whole surfing experience because of that distraction in the middle. So they separated the two to take away that distractions, and that's what we have to do. We have got to remove the distractions from our life that are causing anxiety. Just get rid of them. Remove them. If you got to destroy them, destroy them. If you got to throw your computer out, throw it out. If you have to remove your TVs from your home, do it. Get rid of cable. Get a flip phone again. Do whatever you got to do to remove the distractions so that you can follow him. Radical, God's word work in your life. Sometimes if you have an addiction or a problem, you've got to do something radical in order to get rid of it. Maybe for a season, maybe forever. For some that are addicted to alcohol, that have gotten free from alcohol, they don't ever want to go back into that situation in a bar or anything like that because of the temptation, fine. Others are fine to fellowship with others that have a drink every now and then, but some have to remove it completely from their lives. Cannot be around it. Don't want to be around it. Sometimes that's just the way it has to happen. And if it's going to be for the rest of your life, if it's causing you a problem, so be it. Get rid of it. If it means calling up some friends and tell them I can't hang out with you anymore, so be it. I love you. But we have got, if we're going to be effective in our lives, we have got to take care of us first. You got to take care of you first. Because if you live your life trying to please other people, you will never fulfill the will of God. Take care of you first. You have to be healthy first. That was the advice we got from a Bible school pastor before we went out in ministry, Sibylla and I. He goes, I want to give you a piece of advice. And I said, well, what is that? He goes, you have to first take care of you. I know it doesn't sound really spiritual, but if you don't take care of you, you will not be good for anybody else. Got to take care of you. Put you first. Now, don't stay in that realm for the next 40 years. I'm just taking care of me. Yeah. You know, you get to a point where you get free and you get strong for others, and God will give you projects to help other people once you reach a certain level of freedom. Doesn't mean you'll be 100% free. Nobody ever is. Nobody ever arrives 100% free. It's a goal, obviously. But it's amazing that you get to a certain point in your freedom and you can't go any further. And the only way you're going to go further is to help someone else with the same issue. And through your giving, you receive back more freedom. Amen? So literally sitting, just coming to church, it'll help you to a certain point and a certain level. But really the next level of freedom is say, Pastor Bob, I want to help, I want to serve. What can I do? Praise God. And you, if your only motivation is okay, helping you too. It just works that way. God's kingdom works that way. The earth works that way. Amen? Hallelujah. It's because he doesn't want us to be alone. He built us to link arms with others. Anyway, I went kind of long this morning, but sometimes you got to remove the obstacles in your way in order to ride the wave all the way. Amen? All right, let's all stand up. The word. The word. Gotta put it first. Amen. How about hold the hand of some person next to you? Somebody say, brave the waves. Brave the waves. You know, the waves, when you go surfing, they always come in threes. You ever notice that? Always comes in threes. Always, always, no matter where you've been. It can be flat. You'll be out there with your boogie board or your surfboard. Nothing's happening. And you look out in the horizon. You see a bunch coming. All of a sudden, it's like one, two, three. And then it calms down. And you wait again. It's the same way with the pattern of the enemy. He'll shoot you three times. Maybe it's four for you. Maybe it's two. But we're not ignorant of his devices. Most of the time, it's the same lie, it's the same word, and you know it's a lie. The way that we overcome is we get ready for it, we fill ourselves with God's word, and we learn how to resist it. Not only do we learn how to resist it, we learn how to see it coming from the horizon. You're like, aha, I've been here before. Three waves every time. And I say to you, devil, in Jesus' name, I have victory over you. No matter how big that wave is, you're not going to overtake me. You're not going to overrun me and cause me to drown in the midst of this wave. I'm going over the top of you this time. I'm going to learn how to ride this wave. I'm going to turn this evil into good. Amen. I'm going to benefit from it. And I'm going to do God's will. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for divine supernatural wisdom this morning as we pray. I thank you, Lord, that we, those in here that are stuck because of fear and anxiety, I break that in Jesus' name. I say, devil, you are defeated over this congregation and these people. I thank you because of your word, you have illuminated our mind and given us revelation knowledge this morning. Hallelujah. Right now, I just see people, the light of the Lord is on your head right now. And God is turning the light bulb of revelation and inspiration on inside of your minds, through your eyes, so that you'll begin to see those waves of attack and those waves of things that are coming at you. You'll begin to see them way off on the horizon. You'll be able to get prepared for them so that you'll be able to go over them and not get drowned under them. I see their vision. I see the waves. I'm feeling the water right now. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that wisdom. I thank you, Lord, we will not be overtaken, that we are more than conquerors, and that nothing, we declare, will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I pray that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I need some the prayer partners come up front here. If you need specific prayer for any wave that you're dealing with or any anxiety, the Bible says if two or more agree as touching anything that they ask, it'll be done by the Father that's up in heaven. One puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. And the prayer of agreement is powerful. So if you need someone to agree with you, for you to go to the next level concerning being anxiety-free, remember, it's a process. It is something that we're moving towards. We just don't arrive. We just don't arrive at renewing our mind automatically. I've arrived at renewing my mind now. What do I do? No, it's a forever, daily, weekly, monthly process that we have to continually do because we forget. We forget God's word. We got to keep filling ourselves up because we leak. So if you're leaking oil, you go to the mechanic and you get it fixed. If you're leaking Holy Spirit power, you come to church and you get it fixed. And you go to the Word every morning, you get it fixed. And keep filling, 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 so that you're so full. Anywhere you go, you just explode with Holy Spirit love everywhere. And power. Hallelujah. I don't know how to end, but if you need prayer, come on up, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Thank you so much for coming to City Park Church this morning.